This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Slight change of tack in terms of I am going to talk about case reviews and serious case reviews, and specifically to talk about methods. And geek that I am, I do find that quite exciting. As has just been said, I think for the geeks of us who are concerned about methods, the methodology that we use when we try to learn from frontline practice, in policy terms, it is quite an exciting time, really. We did begin this work at Sky. I've seen someone at the back who will confirm we've been doing this an awfully long time now, since 2004, Sky first started looking at whether we could get any better about how we, you know, whether we could improve the methods we use in terms of learning from practice. And we did, that was building very much on early work that Eileen Munro had done, a 2005 article in the British Journal of Social Work, really was the trigger for Sky's work. And she was then still Eileen before she became Professor Munro. But we're very pleased that now with the Munro Review, we're seeing the introduction of, I was thinking earlier of Jan talking about, do we want to be mechanics or be gardeners? And Eileen's really gone with that and encouraged us to think about our multi-agency child protection systems, not in terms of mechanical metaphors, of levers, of drivers, but much more in terms of this adaptive learning organisations, where what we need is, because of the nature of the complex multi-agency constellations of our work and the nature of the work we do being complex, not only complicated but non-linear, so therefore less predictable, less controllable, what we need as complex learning organisations are really strong feedback mechanisms whereby we can actually get feedback about how our systems are performing on the front line, reflect on that and adapt accordingly. And in her interim report at the beginning of the month, she put the case reviews and serious case reviews very much as one of those key feedback mechanisms, as a key way whereby single and multi-agency systems can actually get that feedback about what's going on the front line. And is there anything we can do to better support workers in their work with families? And I think quite radically in that report, she said that serious case reviews, whilst a human right and essential, do actually, from an organisational perspective, need to be seen as a subset of a broader range of learning activities, where we focus as much on the variety of services that organisations provide, and not only on the poor and tragic outcome cases, which thankfully are a minority case. They're not representative of the work that people do more broadly. In her interim report, she also highlighted that it was over a decade ago that the chief medical officer said that the NHS was old-fashioned in their approaches to safety management and really needed to catch up with developments that had happened in other sectors. And Professor Munro has said that she thinks there are distinct benefits for the child welfare field to gain from actually moving in, gaining from the slipstream, as it were, of developments in engineering and the aviation sector, and that health have taken up on. And she's minded, and we'll see when the final report comes out, but the review is minded to recommend that the method we use for case reviews and serious case reviews is what's called a systems approach. And it's that Sky has been working with Eileen as well to develop specifically to suit the multi-agency nature of child protection and safeguarding work. So what I thought I'd do is a very brief outline of what that Sky model is and how it works, indicates the series of pilots that we've got going on at the moment, give you two illustrations, really, of the findings we've had from the first set of pilots that were in the northwest of England, and end with a little reminder, really, or a prod for us to reflect on why it is important that we bring staff with us in that learning process, why it's organisationally useful to do case reviews and serious case reviews in a way that is experienced as a constructive learning exercise for the frontline staff. And for that, I've got two video clips that have the staff speaking for themselves. So the systems approach. I think we're always very keen to highlight that it's very much both a way of thinking about frontline practice, a conceptual framework, as well as very practical, pragmatic method for how you go about conducting a case review. The three images are different theories of causality that underpin different ways that we go about trying to explain why practice happens in the way it does, or why a particular case was handled in the way it was. And pretty much, in taking a systems approach, we're moving from the domino linear idea that X leads to Y leads to Z towards more of a complex emergent idea of something like the weather system, where actually we have to accept that lots of things won't be predictable, and we have to get better at spotting, having systems whereby people identify new emerging problems when they do come up. But it's just to think that it's a theory and a practice when you take a systems approach. And it starts from a very basic assumption that it's reasonable to assume that most people in services that are involved with children and families in any way do come to work each day intending to do a good job. When tragedies occur, there's often a huge element of chance and a huge element of regret on the part of staff involved. And it's easy to forget that in the furore that might come along with it. If we start from that assumption, we have to then think, so what does lead to good or poor practice? Let's rethink, where do we start when we ask that question? And taking a systems approach, we leave the idea of the bad apple image aside and take instead this organizational triangle that presumes that as any individuals at whatever position we're in, we can't just choose between doing better or worse practice. If we're at that front line, the pointy bit of the triangle, we can't just decide to stand outside the triangle. We're inevitably influenced and impacted by the broader levels of the organization. We're not automatons. It doesn't dictate what we do. But we can't escape being influenced by our work context. So in terms of understanding the standard of performance, you can think about it, you can cut the cake in various ways, but one way you can think about it is in terms of the features of the task. Some jobs are more difficult, more complicated than others. The tools we're given to support us in doing that task, some are better designed and more useful than others, and the general operating environment, as it's called in the engineering field. And I think when we're talking about systems, it's worth just reiterating that we try not to set up a dichotomy between individuals as if people are separate from systems in some way. It's always people interacting with bits, aspects of the work environment that together create the system. So it's not a either-or, looking at people or systems. If we take that organizational triangle approach, assuming people do come to work intending to do a good job, what are the implications for how we go about doing a case review? What it means is that we have to really remember that we look in detail at one particular case as a way of trying to get a window on the system more broadly. We want to understand through our review of professional practice in relation to one particular family, what are the factors that are working well to support professionals do a good job, and where are there issues that inadvertently are actually making it more likely that people will perform to a poor standard or simply make mistakes. And that requires understanding what in the systems terminology is called the local rationality. So how does the world look to people at the time? Let's get away from the hindsight bias and really try and get back to the point in time and understand how are professionals seeing and understanding the world so that whatever they did seemed sensible, it made sense at the time. And we have to get that level of understanding if we're going to be able to understand what was influencing them for better or for worse. So if we use that one case to act as a window on the system, it really means we need to go beyond the case-specific details. In a way, the individual case is only useful to the extent that it can help us identify more generic patterns of influence on practice that influence on more than one impact on more than one case. And that's because any efforts to improve safety are obviously more effective if they're generalizable rather than specific, peculiar to a particular case. And any of our improvement efforts then have to be targeted on thinking about that context. How do we make it harder to safeguard poorly and make it easier that people can do a good job? I think Professor Munro herself has a good slide where she says heroic workers might be able to do a good job in a poor system, but actually we need to try and design good systems so that average workers can do well. This is a slide of James Reason, another one of the key academics in the systems field. He says that taking a systems approach involves tackling what are called the latent conditions that make poor practice more likely. Active failures, he writes, are like mosquitoes. They can be swatted away one by one, but they still keep coming. The best remedies are to create more effective defenses and to drain the swamps in which they breed. The swamps, in this case, are the ever-present latent conditions. And that often is a useful image just to keep in mind. We don't want to be batting the individual active failures, the errors, the mosquitoes. Again, language that Eileen has reintroduced again. It really involves responding with what's called double-loop learning. And I think the key thing there is that it's never enough just to assess whether people have complied with procedure. When we have a case review, we really need to use the opportunity that gives us to think, was it the right procedure in the first place? So nothing is sacrosanct. It's all up for questioning when we have a case review. So how does that work in practice? This is a little diagram to try and capture what's different about the SKY model as we've developed the systems approach. People are organized basically in two main groups. There's the review team, multi-agency senior managers usually, who work together from the beginning to do the data collection and the analysis. So there are no IMRs in this model. And the other key group are the case group, the staff and first-line managers, who are directly involved with the family whose case is being reviewed. And they work together. Those are the two bodies, and it's a highly collaborative model. They work together quite a lot through the process. The review team meet with the case group, the staff, at an introductory meeting to tell them what the model is, through individual conversations as a key source of data collection, and at two what we call follow-on meetings, where the staff are actively involved in the analysis process. They're not just fed back to, but they're involved in discussions about, have the review team got a correct picture of what was going on in this case? And let's discuss more broadly the strengths and weaknesses that have been highlighted. There are various tools that the SKY model includes. I don't think it's, again, this is all just picking up on the systems terminology. We need to understand, we judge practice. It's not that it's a soft approach. We judge the adequacy of practice, but always in the context. What was influencing people that the practice was as it was? We identify key episodes within the case that you really need to unpick in more detail rather than focusing on every broken nail and split hair. Actually focusing on what are the key episodes that we really need to understand better. So we did a lot of development work in the beginning, and we've had running and are currently in process a series of pilots. We just finished our first set of pilots in the northwest of England at the end of last year. 3 case reviews there using the systems model. We're midway through 3 more in the West Midlands, and we've just started 7 new case reviews in London, where we're also at the same time trying out a new approach to train and support people who are interested in using this method for the first time, and we'll be starting the Southwest just after Easter. That links to the fact that Eileen mentioned in her interim report that compared to the engineering field, compared to aviation, for child welfare, thinking about using the systems approach in how we learn and adapt as an organizational improvement tool, it's at a very early stage compared to other sectors. So we need to make sure that nothing gets set in concrete too early and that we continue that methodological development and fine-tune how it works in our field. So I thought these 2 small illustrations of the kinds of findings that came out of the Northwest examples, early case studies. Firstly, looking at what kinds of findings do you get if you use this model, and secondly, something about the kind of learning we got through the process itself. For the findings, I think it's what I wanted to stress was just that idea of what does it look like if you are doing double-loop learning? What's an example of actually questioning the taken for granted? In one of our cases, we had an example of a case-specific practice issue that had arisen. Concerned a social worker doing a Section 47 investigation during the Easter school holidays. It was a critical juncture in this case because the school had actually been desperate to get social care involved and had failed for various reasons. So this was a turning point, really, in the case that could have made a significant difference. But the school was closed, and the social worker, thinking that it looked likely that the case would be closed, didn't wait or didn't manage to get any information from the school. And when we went back to the staff and explored that in more detail, what they told us was that that wasn't an oddity of this particular case. It was completely standard, usual practice for them. That if they would never overrun the timescale for completing a Section 47 if it involved waiting until the school reopened to get the possible information. And when I presented this before to other people who do case reviews, they've said, oh, but the usual process would be, how don't other people find ways around that? Some people close the case and then close the investigation and reopen it, or various ways to get around the problem. Whereas taking the systems approach, we sort of went back to the basics and thought, why is it that it's acceptable for schools not to be around to provide timely information despite the fact that it's school holidays? And that was the debate by the review team, thinking, well, we've got various examples within health with a lead and designated named that actually means that timely information can be provided. The challenge back to the board was, how can you come up with a practice model that would allow the equivalent for schools? Just one small example. The feedback from boards on those kinds of findings was quite positive, if a bit uncomfortable. These recommendations are more strategic, so that's a struggle. But as it should be, you can imagine these more easily informing the business plan or children and young people's plan, rather than being ticky-offy action plans. We sort of knew that. That's where we were heading in terms of the types of findings. We thought it would be useful for a systems approach to get to. What we'd underestimated was the way in which the process of the case review itself seemed to achieve powerful learning for the staff involved. I wanted to give you a small example.
Sites involved. Crucially, would practice change in the future as a result of the review?
It's definitely changed my practice, definitely. One particular case, the garden path syndrome was definitely there, and it wasn't until it's pointed out that you come back and look.
Prior to this involvement in this case, we would have had, if there was a case where there was some child concern, some issue with regard to the welfare of a child, you had a form to fill in, you faxed that form off, end of your involvement. Unless you heard from social care that there was some involvement with the family, at which case you would start to get more involved. But once that fax had been sent, you had ticked the box and fulfilled your role. Since this involvement in this case, I would never, ever just leave that at a fax. So always follows it up with a phone call, and I've kept on going until I've got an answer to the question.
Now, through this meetings, I know what probation do, and know what they're responsible for, which gives us a better position, because now we know what we expect from them, and it's vice versa.
And I think it's just give you a better understanding of other people's roles and what the roles are, rather than what you perceive their roles to be.
Those were some of the staff who were involved in one of the Northwest examples. And I think what their explanations there make clear about what they now do differently, what the impact of them of being involved in the case review shows, is that they were really not waiting on the final report. That was quite irrelevant to them. The process of having taken part in the individual conversations and then having these multi-agency discussions had a very effective impact on their learning, very active learning, whereby they were changing their practice and going back to other cases and doing things differently. You can find more of that film and loads of other publications and products on this systems approach on the Sky website. I wanted to end with just another small quote from those staff explaining how they felt when they first heard about the case review. And it links very much to what Jan was saying earlier of the need to actively involve parents in the change process. And I'd say, well, the plea really to think about how the extent to which we need to do the same with staff and how we actively do that. Thank you.
Little clip. When they heard a case they had been involved in was going to be reviewed.
You feel initially, oh my God, my job's on the line here, because I'm going to get the blame. So it was quite frightening.
Terrified, absolutely terrified. I thought it was going to be a blaming exercise. Everybody was going to be looking for somebody to point the finger at.
In the case that we reviewed, I was the only professional still involved with the family at the time. So it was that fear of, it can only be my fault.
It was explained to me that they were going to try this new process of these serious case reviews. So even though I was still apprehensive, I didn't feel as bad. But you still have that element of fear.
It doesn't have to be a positive experience for practitioners, because it's about identifying, learning and improving outcomes for children, and those are the two most important things. However, it can't be, for me, it can't be right that we have a process of reviewing cases that has such a negative effect on practitioners that in certain circumstances they no longer remain involved in working with children and families. A process of reviewing cases that identifies issues but is positive for the practitioners also has to be better for children and young people.
Yeah.